Felipe Esparza is a longtime stand-up comedian who's going to be honing his craft here in Austin this weekend at the Comedy Mothership. While the tickets are sold out, you should still check out a show at the Comedy Mothership when you have a chance. Go to ComedyMothership.com for those tickets that are available for future shows. Felipe, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Thank you, man. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, and it's exciting to have you in Austin this weekend, not just because you already had 3 days planned of headlining the Comedy Mothership. Obviously, a lot has been said about Joe's new club since it opened back in late March. I'm assuming you haven't slipped in for a guest spot just yet. If not, what are your expectations of this place?
Oh, man, I'm super excited to do the club, you know, especially, you know, coming that it's owned by someone you actually know, you know. I know Joe Rogan, like, before he even started a podcast. I used to follow Joe, my friends and I, like, when Joe Rogan was around. We were like big fans of his website, JoeRogan.net, because him and Doug Stanhope were one of the few comics that were like on social media before there was a social media. So they would put out blogs, and we would follow JoeRogan.net for all his stories from the Comedy Store. And to see him now, you know where he's at right now from where the beginning, it's amazing, man. So yeah, I'm super excited to perform at a club that's owned by a comedian that's actually been there. You know, like, you see some comedians, you know, they open up comedy clubs, and at first it's like comedian friendly, and then later on, you know, it's all about selling tickets and we gotta sell alcohol, you know, and they forget, you know, what you were a comedian before. And Joe Rogan's been through all that, you know. He's been to comedy clubs where they didn't treat the comics right, you know, or where they threw in an opener that was not funny, you know, and blah blah blah, you know. But this club is, you know, is rooted by somebody who knows comedy, you know. I'm when you walk in there, man, you know right away, man. This is like walking into a mecca, you know, for comedians. The Comedy Store, you know, there's a room in there called Mitzi's, which is named after the owner, Mitzi. And they have two rooms, you know, and the rooms are not like 500 seaters. It's very intimate, you know, like you could really like reach out and punch someone. You know, it's funny, man. I don't know anything about it. I have a podcast called History for Fools podcast, but you know, I only started that podcast so I could learn history. And when they told me about the names of the rooms, I didn't get it, man. So somebody told me that they were the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Little yeah. Boy and Fat Man, and you're gonna
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I didn't know the reference to that. I didn't know that. I didn't know what Little Boy and Fat Man was. I thought they were a comedy duo. So my wife told me.
Well, that all ties in.
Man, because if you're there, you're like, if you bomb, you're bombing in the little room. Like, if you're not funny, it's very funny. It's like a play on words. If you're not funny, bombing in that room.
Well, that all ties into the whole alien and spaceship nature of the Comedy Mothership. Like, the decor plays into that as well. And one of the reasons as to why they called him Little Boy and Fat Man is because around the time those bombs dropped, you saw a huge increase in people making UFO sightings. So
oh, yeah.
Joe and his fascination with extraterrestrial life and things like that. It just all makes sense. Have you ever seen UFO or extraterrestrial?
Hell, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that, man.
Yeah. It's hard if you've never seen something before to believe in
it.
I've
never seen UFOs. I don't believe in none of that stuff, man. The thing is, I think when you start believing in that stuff, it's because you have enough money already to stop believing in real stuff. Is there nobody out there, bro, who works 40 hours a week, comes home, feed his family, who has time to believe in UFOs? I think when you're at a point in your life where you have enough money and you could afford things, then you start believing in stuff like that. You know, you have time to really delve into UFOs and conspiracy theories and flat earth, you know. But unless you have, see, the regular person doesn't have time for that, you know, because we're busy, we're grinding, we're trying to make money, we're trying to feed our families. So we don't really have time for that stuff. Yeah, man. Like my brother, he's one of those people, man. Like he believes that the world's flat, you know?
Yeah, the flat earth thing never really made sense to me just because we have so much evidence of otherwise, right?
I think if I were to get into that stuff, I'd probably lose my mind. Cause I get to rabbit holes that there is already, you know. So I wouldn't want to jump into something like that.
What sorts of rabbit holes do you enjoy pursuing right now?
Oh man, I get into a rabbit hole on TikTok and forget about it, bro. I'm done. Like, but I started off with food, and then I'm into slavery, bro. Like I started watching this soul food, you know, like right before Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
like cornbread and greens, stuff I've never really had. Like I never really like had soul food. Like I've had like barbecue, but I never had like greens and hog maw and fuck hush puppies, you know, and fried catfish, all that good stuff, you know, because I'm from California. You know, we don't have too much soul food over here unless you live in like in a soul food neighborhood, which in LA there's a soul food and Mexican restaurant. So it's mixed between soul food and Mexico. It's weird, man. Like there's a soul food and Mexican restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called Blaxican.
Is that really the name of the place?
It's called Blaxican. Blaxican. Blaxican.
That sounds like an interesting concept. Was the food any good?
It was delicious, man. And like imagine every type of soul food, but mixed with food with Mexican food. Like they'll have like a fajita with greens and then they'll put like chorizo in it. Yeah. Oh, so the rabbit hole I got into one time was on soul food, but I went deep, bro. Like I found out that hush puppies, I found out why they call them hush puppies. Because, you know, because they're like, it's basically a ball of cornbread, you know?
Yeah.
And what happened was when slaves were running away on the runaway with Harriet Tubman, I guess, on the I don't know what they call that train, the runaway train, the runaway slaves.
Underground Railroad.
Underground Railroad, yeah. They had a trail. And so they would ball up cornbread like hush puppies, right? Because they couldn't get on the regular road because you need like an ID to have proof that you're out there working for the master doing an errand. So they had to go on the back of the farm, you know, back jump gates and go through the back of farms. So the dogs will bark and start chasing them. So what they'll do, they'll ball up the cornbread like a ball and throw it at the dog so the dog can stop barking and eat it. And then they'll call it hush puppy to hush the dog. So that's how hush puppies came around.
I did not know that. Thank you for sharing that info. It makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, man. So that's deep, bro. I'm like, what the fuck? So next time I'm eating and somebody's talking too much, I just get a little ball of cornbread and put it in their mouth.
Now, SoCal has really good Mexican food and Texas does too. But the problem for me with Texas Mexican food is the Tex-Mex style. Like I'm a bigger fan of interior Mexican food than I am Tex-Mex, but you've got to cut through a lot of BS to find a really good Mexican food place in town.
You know, man, like Tex-Mex, they give you a tortilla with everything over there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they're thick too. They're like fat. They're almost like Indian bread. It's real fat.
Yep.
And they're big on brisket too. Like we're not big on brisket in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But they'll serve like a brisket burrito, bro. Well, also they don't call their burritos burrito. They call them tacos.
In Texas, you're saying they call burritos tacos?
Yeah. Like if you ask for a, if you go to a place where they say we got tacos, that nah, man, they're burrito. They're like, there are other tacos, all those tacos, they're made with flour tortilla. But they're, well, for some of them, California, to me, that's a burrito. But in those areas, Tex-Mex, it's a taco. Because I went deep south. I went to South Padre Island, Texas. And there's a little town nearby next to the border. I think it's called Laredo or somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's a little cafe called Isabella in the town of Isabella, Texas. And everybody there, you would think that, you know, I'm trying to stereotype here, but I thought these people only spoke Spanish, you know, like they were like next to the border. And I thought they spoke Spanish. Man, was I wrong? That lady might have looked native to Mexico, but she was born in Texas and she had like a very, very Texas accent. Like I spoke better Spanish than her, and she spoke better in English than me. She said, "Yo, señora, me da dos tacos, por favor." So you would like, so mijo, you're saying you would like two tacos, you know, like that. But man, it is funny, bro. Like when they gave me my friends got these burritos. They were made with pork guisado, which is pork marinated in red sauce, and then they smothered it with cheddar cheese, so you get like a almost like a sauce of pork and red sauce with cheese and big cubes of pork. And they put it in a flour tortilla, but guess what? In LA, they roll it up, bro, like a blunt, you know, like you're rolling a fat one. But over there, dude, she just folded it like this, like a calzone. She just folded it one time, like, and then put it in a bag, like, no fold, bro, no roll, just fold.
I need the roll, but then again, I'm a big J guy, so I like it rolled up because, by the way, when you're just folding it up like that, the likelihood of it turning into a colossal mess goes up exponentially.
Yeah, man, but that's, man, but they were bomb, bro. It just didn't have no roll on it.
Oh, it still turned out to be good, even though it was more like a calzone than it was a taco.
Yeah, but I ended up rolling it myself, but man, it was smothered with beans that, yeah, man. Yeah, but it was delicious.
Yeah, it sounds good. So I saw that you actually were at South Padre Beach on your Instagram. Were you vacationing there? Did you spend like a week there? Because that's an underrated beach in this country. I mean, people in Texas know about it and spring breakers know about it, but that's a really cool beach to get to spend time at.
I did a comedy show there, man, and it was an outside event.
Mm-hmm.
It's South Padre. I think it must be like an event center. And this, I think it was Labor Day, or I think I've been there like three times. But it was that day that I was there was so windy.
Mm.
Like, man, like I'm performing and that my hair like this. And it's 100 degrees over there with humidity.
Oof.
If you throw a football in the sky, bro, it'll get stuck. Like, you know, you ever take a bath or a shower that didn't take? That's all day, bro. Like, if you're like over 300 pounds at my show, you were looking for the baby powder booth. It was hot, man. It was unbearable, man. And South Padre only has one bridge to get to the island.
Yep.
So, man, it was jam traffic, bro. But it was a good time. Everybody got drunk. And South Padre is fun. But the hotel we were staying in, you could tell that it was amazing in 1987, you know?
Yeah.
They were remodeling it, but the whole hotel used to have like a water park that used to go through it, but the water park's closed, they're remodeling it. So it just looked like a, it looks like a broken down skate park. But very mad. It is hot there, man. It was so hot. Probably the hottest place I've ever been to in America.
See, the hottest places to me, because in Padre, you have the water that you can take a dip into. The hottest places to me are Houston and New Orleans, because you
Oh,
get
those are
that
pretty.
oppressive humidity, but there's nowhere you can go to escape it other than find air conditioning inside, right?
Man, Austin can get hot too, man, with those big old roaches and mosquitoes.
Yeah, it does.
I almost got decapitated, man, in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I was my friend and I, another comedian. We're performing at the Paramount at the in Austin like 2 years ago, and we went outside, bro, to grab these scooters to get back to the hotel. But then this thunderstorm came out of nowhere, bro. Like, I don't know who forecast that one, but it was like a hurricane, man. And it was windy, bro. Windy. And it was during like the end of the pandemic, because some of the businesses were boarded up with wood, you know? They were boarded up with wood. And so the wind ripped the board out of the somebody's business, and my friend and I were standing like 10 seconds, and then we moved to the stand. I said, "Man, we're gonna get off the street, bro. What if something flies?" We crossed the street, and there's that plywood came flying right over our heads, bro. Like, as soon as we started walking away, it barely missed us.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, man. That was Austin the last time I was there.
Have you had fun with the Austin crowds? Obviously, Austin has become the stand-up mecca with Rogan's Place and Creek in the Cave coming in and a couple of spots like that. Cap City Comedy Club being brought back by the Helium people. Have you always had a good experience with Austin comedy crowds?
Yes, man. I remember my first show I ever did in Austin was at the college.
University of Texas?
University of Texas, right? The tower where the sniper was on back in the day.
Yep.
He was taken down by a Mexican, by the way. And
Thank you.
yeah, man, I remember the guy that put the show together. He must have been the dean of the university. He had a he had a he had an apartment or a house right above the main street is 6th Street, right? He had an apartment right above the pizza place. And I remember staying there. Yeah, man. Austin crowd is great to me because I always feel like I'm in Portland without the legalization of marijuana. It's like we could trade homeless people. But at least over here, man, and the difference between the homeless people and Los Angeles and Austin. That if in Austin, if you look weird, you could run for mayor like that lady Allen.
Leslie.
Leslie with the hot legs. I
Leslie is.
remember Leslie would hang out right outside the apartment I was staying at. That's how I found out Leslie was running for mayor.
Leslie's one
Crazy,
of those
huh?
figures. I feel like the figure exists like this in every major city. Leslie is one of those people who seems like they were everywhere. Like you would go from one place to another. And you'd see Leslie in the first spot, and then you'd see Leslie in the second spot too. Like I lived in Chicago for a while. There was this dude known as the tamale guy who would just sell tamales all over town. And I swear to God, you could go to a bar on a complete opposite end of town, and all of a sudden the tamale guy's walking into that bar selling tamales that his wife had made earlier in the day. It was the craziest stuff.
That's crazy, man. When I was living in downtown LA, I used to live right on Skid Row on 2nd and Main. And there used to be a homeless man that he used to dress up with a pirate hat, and they would call him the pirate. And a lot of the artists that were there, they knew him, and they would paint him and put him in their painting and take photos of him. But he was just called a pirate. So you'd be walking out of nowhere, he'd just come out of the alley. Arr!
Hopefully he was never trying to rape or pillage you, I guess.
No, man. He just wanted a rock.
So you are you're a little bit more than midway through your Bigfoot tour, which is a play on Bigfoot, and of course there's a great graphic of you, your head on top of a Bigfoot, but you, I'm guessing, aren't a big believer in Bigfoot, since what we talked about a little bit earlier with not getting too deep into conspiracy theories.
I know, man, like, I know, like, Bigfoot, I think somebody just up like that, bro, just to get people to go there because they were losing money and they were going to close down the park.
Oh, well, it's been proven at this point that there was somebody dressed up in a costume in the most famous
Bigfoot. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I already thought it was, so I thought it was like at first, when I was a little kid, because there were so many Bigfoot shows, we thought it was real. And then we go to Disneyland, the mammoth ride, space, I don't know, the mammoth ride, and it'll be like the woolly mammoth. Look at my sweater, though.
Oh, love it.
But the Loch Ness Monster, you know, that's like the Bigfoot of that area, huh?
Of Scotland?
Yeah, Scotland.
Everything, every culture has its thing, right? Like the Chupacabra is a big
thing. And we have La Llorona, too.
What is that?
La Llorona is like supposedly like this native lady. So she back in the days when the Spanish came, she was the first native to board the first Mexican, I guess, you know, and I guess she was supposed to fall in love with a Spaniard, and he was supposed to take her back to Spain and live happily ever after. But he said, nah. So she thought maybe if she killed all her kids that she'll go. But she ended up not going anyways. So the rumor is that she roams around Mexico looking for her kids. Like, walks up to people at night. ¿Dónde están mis hijos? Like, where are my kids? So basically, man, she was like the first baby mama ghost. That's how I caught it, man. Anybody who believes in that, I always say, yeah, bro. She was the first baby mama ghost, the first side chick, the first toxic chick that went crazy. Bro, when I was a kid, I swear to God, I thought I saw a UFO. But then the answer that my dad gave me was so ridiculous. Because I swear, bro, I was chilling outside, and I saw, like, a figure just fly up. But it had a bunch of lights, and then it took off. And then I saw another one, and I told my dad about it. He said, "What?" I saw one. He goes, "Yeah, man. They're at war up there, and they're chasing each other." But he said he saw something crash wherever he was from when he was in high school. Like, something crashed in the beach, and nobody ever told him what it was. You know when that movie Men in Black came out?
Yeah.
I remember this comedian, Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
He used to live with this hardcore cholo, bro. Like, this guy used to gangbang, bro, right? But he was a retired gangbanger. But, like, he had tattoos of all death. He was crazy, this guy. And that was Gabriel Iglesias' roommate. But this dude was into UFOs. And this fool told me about Men in Black before Men in Black, the movie came out. He had a book, and he said, but it was interesting because I always remember his explanation about Men in Black. And then he said, who are these people with dark suits who look like the Blues Brothers? Mm-hmm. And then he said, nah, homie. He goes, whenever a person will go out there and say he saw a UFO, you know, or they say they saw something, you know, and they're going to the papers and they're making a big stink about it. They will send these guys in suits to go to their house to tell them to shut the hell up. And they would, like, threaten them, you know, and make them pay them off or make them sign something, you know, or they'll lock them up in an asylum.
Ew.
But that was his version of what the Men in Black are, like Will Smith and that movie. That right there, I never forgot, bro.
That is wild.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. That was his theory, you know. But, you know, But that's crazy, right? To have a comedian living with somebody that crazy.
Well, it's good for material, if nothing else, I guess, huh?
Yeah, remember his book was this thick, and it was, I think, one of those Time Life books.
Oh, that you get in the mail
Yeah.
for a subscription to the magazine?
Yes. Unknowns. Secrets of the unknown.
Well, Felipe, thank you so much for the time today, man. Safe travels to and from Texas. Look forward to checking you out to the mothership this weekend.
You, bro, for your time.
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. And thanks to you for hanging out. For more of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. Talk to you next time on Books on Pod.